This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from FEMA Region 5 in the new media production studio designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories are Big Apple News Day and the shifts to ARM computing, Google fact checks images, Twitch and streamer safety. Verizon has a credit card. I want to welcome you to episode 1455 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, June 22nd. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. We are live once again at GeekNewsCentral.com/live or live.GeekNewsCentral.com. We're on Facebook. We're on YouTube. We're on Twitch. We're on Twitter. And thanks for being here. Thanks for checking the show out. Make sure you say hello if you're joining us on Facebook or on YouTube. I'll make sure to check that out. And if you're a brand new listener, thanks for being here. And make sure you get over to GeekNewsCentral.com and get subscribed to the show. When you get subscribed to the show, you'll never miss a single episode. While you're on the website, sign up for the newsletter. Of course, you can always listen to the show at blueberry.com. That's an option. Or you can listen on your smart home device by using the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. We've got some chat rooms. Discord link is in the show notes or geeknews.chat, which is a Mastodon server. You can join our Slack channel just by sending me an email. That's really the easiest way to get connected. Geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, I'm on Twitter at geeknews. And of course, you can follow me here on Facebook. Partner shows are all linked at geeknewscentral.com. It's a GNC Week in Review, the Gadget Presser, the Pro Gear site, New Media Show, Podcast Legends, Podcast Insider. All that information is available again at geeknewscentral.com. And of course, you can pick up Ohana Gear at cafepress.com/Ohana Store. Hey, this show does have the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends at GoDaddy. And you can save big money at GoDaddy. All you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy and grab a deal. We've also got great promo codes there, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be a $499.com, $1 a month economy hosting, or $1 a month managed WordPress hosting, all for the first year. Both those hosting deals are $1 a month for the first year and includes a free domain. And again, you get a free trial with GoDaddy website builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. All these savings you can get online with GoDaddy. Matter of fact, I've been letting a few domains go, been picking up a few domains, renewed a hosting service. So I've been pretty active in my own GoDaddy account over the past week or so. But you can save up to 87% on products and services by using my promo codes at GoDaddy. Up 30% off new product purchases. Obviously, that's on big ticket items, whether you get a virtual dedicated server, dedicated box, or whatever it may be, or once there are cloud services over there. Again, all these deals are available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want you to check those out. Every utilization of a promo code, whether you share with a friend, family member, people that you know, is like an in-kind donation to the show. And of course, we want to thank all of you for your ongoing support of our sponsor, GoDaddy. So a little bit of a different, I'm looking at doing a couple of things. I'm looking to shorten the intro of the show a little bit. And I think at this point, the number of new listeners that come to the show will figure out pretty quickly how to subscribe to the podcast. So we're going to glean over some of that and make sure they know where geeknewscentral.com is. So I'm going to be shortening up the intro just a tad. It's something I've been thinking about for a while, but it just seems to me that maybe it's time to scrunch that in a little bit. And I think we're going to keep the commentary here at this section the same with the podcast for sure. But I tell you what really kind of drove me to it. Last week on Thursday, as you know, I missed the show. And largely it was on Wednesday night. I got the worst case of insomnia that I've had in years. I might as well have just stayed up and worked and done something productive, because I surely was not productive in bed. Thought that I would be able to maintain, but by the time the showtime ran around last, because I was thinking, okay, shorten the intro, I can rush through and maybe tighten the show up a little bit, because I was just exhausted. And finally, Kirk had already done the prep. I'd come in here and got everything set up. I'd loaded the browser, gotten the stories up, and man, I just got hit by it. I ran out of gas, and I really did. I kind of hit the wall, and I said, this is stupid. So I closed all the browsers, shut everything down. 10 minutes, I was out of here and in my car and on the way to the house. I got the house, and 35 minutes later, I was in bed and slept like a straight 9 hours. It was a beautiful thing. Why? You know, insomnia is kind of a weird deal. Every once in a while, you get it, and my brain just worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked all night. And you try to shut it off. I had some, you know, I've had insomnia before, not real bad. And I've had some strategies on how to kill it. And boy, nothing worked. It really did not. And so it is what it is. Not a problem since. But boy, last Wednesday was just hit me like a freight train. So anyway, that's kind of the plan on what's going on. It's been a pretty, I guess for better words, have you missed much? Saturday, I didn't have a new media show. That was kind of great because Rob had some things to do in Seattle. So did some stuff around the house, enjoyed Father's Day, really kind of vegging. My sister and her husband are on their way to Tampa, Florida. They're going down and staying in a military base, and then they're going to see my daughter and my grandchild and hang out down there. They'll be back before the 4th of July. So it's just my mom and I kind of manning the fort here on the over at the compound. So I think that is pretty much what's been going on. And glad you're back with me here, and I hope everyone's doing well and continuing to stay safe. So today, obviously WWDC is going on, and really the headline, and we kind of knew this going into the event, that Apple is starting its 2-year transition to ARM this week. And the company plans to ship its first ARM-based Mac by the end of the year. And I think when they make this transition, I'm probably going to be due, I don't know, maybe a year or two for another MacBook. I'm hoping I can get another 2 years out of the one I have. I was looking at the date of it today and said, I'm pretty impressed how far along I've gotten on this one. My iMac Pro. I love that machine. It's got a lot of life left in it. But it's at the end of an era here. Apple's officially, again, announced it'll be switching from Intel processor to its own ARM-based A-series chips in its computers. And this is going to mean a whole bunch of stuff for those of you that are Mac users that do pay the premium to have a MacBook and are not on Windows. And again, I remain a big fan of Windows. I still have Windows machines here. And they serve me well. Matter of fact, there's a service that I subscribe to. I'm trying to build my video library for my home because I don't have a lot of good connectivity. And I'm learning different ways to legally get copies of movies I own and stuff that I'm watching. And so some of that cannot be done on a Mac. There's a couple of services out there that are PC only. So I've been playing around with that a little bit. But really, you know, if you think about it, this transition to ARM, I think, is a little bit fraught with some risk. We'll see what happens for the processors and how performance does. I just don't see them going backwards at all. But one thing, it does open the doors to some things we'll talk about here during the show tonight. Again, if you're watching on Facebook, make sure you say hi. Please check in and say hello. We want you to do that and let you know that you're here. I appreciate it when you do say that you're on the show. And again, if you have any comments on today's show, and we'll cover some that came in, geeknews@gmail.com. So besides that, there was some other non-Apple stuff, and I'll talk about that for a second before we get into the full stack of Apple stuff. But Google is adding fact check feature for images. This is interesting. So this aims to help people make more informed judgments about what they see on the internet. How do you feel about this? Google Images, I go to Google Images a lot. But Google is saying the power of visual media has its pitfalls, especially when there are questions surrounding the origin, authenticity, or context of an image. I saw an image floating around on Saturday that I knew for a fact was not a real image. It was something from somewhere else, a different time. So it's going to be curious to see how they're going to fact-check images. The label may also appear for fact-check news articles about specific images that include an image in the story. So how do you end up fact-checking the fact-checkers? Google says that the fact-check labels appear on results that come from independent, authoritative sources on the web that meet Google's specific criteria. In February, Google parent company Alphabet created a free tool called Assembler to help determine if a photo is real or doctored. The tool was designed to help journalists and fact-checkers fight deep fakes and other attempts to manipulate the truth. And I think we see a lot of that on social media today with stuff that is out there. Moving on from this, and love to hear your opinion on fact-checking photos. Twitch is vowing to prove safety as several streamers are accused of abuse. Sexual misconduct victims are speaking out against Twitch partners. Now, this is very interesting. And I don't fully understand how this has not really made the light of day, or if it did, we didn't hear about it. Over the past few days, several women have come forward to accuse Twitch streamers, and I'm going to not say their names on the show here, of sexual abuse and misconduct. They say their gamers pressured them for sex and made unwanted physical advances. As the claims mounted, Twitch released a statement via Twitter which states that the company is looking into the accounts of the accused streamers, involve law enforcement where applicable. Multiple women have named these players for cornering them at live gaming events. According to one of the gamers, he posted an apology on YouTube and claimed that his actions were a result of a troubled past, but he has since deleted the video. Another music streamer alleged on Twitter that over a year ago, Twitch CEO was asked in a recorded all-hands meeting about how the company could address the abuse that enabled by the platform. So, Twitch, I'm streaming on Twitch right now. I'm here in my studio by myself. So these are apparently happening at Twitch live events, or these accusations happen. You know, every event that I have went to in recent times, there has been some sort of, me as an exhibitor will know who to call or who to inform if we think someone is in trouble. And at these events, most of these events now, there are teams that are there to make sure that both men and women are safe and that anyone that has concerns about their safety can, it's usually a special group within security, can assist that individual, escort them. And let's say it's someone that has almost celebrity status. And each event that I went to has had different groups that are like that. When I was at Dragon Con, they were, I was basically involved in a session where one of the speakers was there, was not comfortable. There was someone at the event that individual had problems with before, and that team took that individual and escorted them to their room, make sure they got there safely. So this is pretty common now at trade shows. And I don't understand really in this day and age how that is not already been addressed. And these harassment issues can happen at any type of event. especially when there's fan type events and stuff like that. It's maybe it's a little more predominant. I don't know. But it's something that people that put on events have to plan for now. And most people that are exhibiting and stuff know what to look out for and have that number in their packet of who to call, again, if there's an issue. So I don't understand. I guess I do. There's an issue here with Twitch, and they need to get to the bottom of it. So at the same time, I won't go into reasons why or why not. It's just we need to make sure that these events where people can be protected and have fun and not be harassed. Verizon had, hey, Jody, hello, Jim. Good evening. Thank you for checking in, saying hi. Hey, Verizon has a new Visa card, and it gives wireless customers more ways to save. You know, this is, I've said this every time someone comes out with a credit card. Blueberry, my company needs a credit card. I really do. I really got to figure out how to get one of these things going. Because obviously there is just an absolute butt ton of money to be made and having a credit card that is your customers use. It's got to be, you know, I'm probably the type of credit card customers that most credit card companies don't like. I carry very small or no balance on my credit card. I do my very, very best to pay them off every month. And you want a little touch of reality when you a little overspend a little bit and you have to write that check to pay that bad boy off, that curbs your spending when you're not consistently adding to the balance. When you have to pay that bulk off, that in itself puts in your own type of budget constraints, right? And in the age of budget constraints, we all have to be careful and considering with everything that's going on right now. But Verizon and this new Visa card, you get 2% back on purchase. So if they can afford to give you 2% back on purchase and payments made through Verizon, how much money are they making on those things when there's, well, we know, right? 18, 19% interest. Have you actually, do any of you actually check your interest rate on your credit cards? I pay my credit cards off, so I'm not really worried about the interest. But I think about a month ago or so, I actually went and kind of looked because I really didn't know what my interest rate was. And when you're not carrying a balance, it's not a big deal because you're not racking up interest fees. But when I thought, oh my God, you know, I would have to start playing the credit card game again and getting a lower interest credit card because a couple of my cards that I have that I can pay off on a regular basis have, you know, in the 16s, I'm like, whoa. And I remember for years I had my credit cards, you know, when I had a balance, I was playing that trade game, you know, trying to get the lowest interest rate until I got them all paid off. And of course, I never wanted to see those days again where I carried a balance. So after you carry a balance, you don't really worry about the interest rate because you don't use the interest. But that's how they're making money on these things. They're getting kickbacks. For sure. And I've got a great credit score. So it's not because my credit card isn't 16% because I don't have a good credit score. It's because I just didn't pay attention to it, of what it was. I was racking up my United miles on Chase. That's what it was. Apple's new ARM-based Macs will run iPhone and iPad apps out of the box. So when you have an ARM-based Mac, ba-boom, it'll run any iPhone or iPad app straight up. No issues. Go right to the App Store, buy it, download it, use it. So that's going to be kind of cool. Over 2 million apps. The 13-year-old iPhone has about 2 million apps, far higher than the number of programs made specifically for the Mac. Now, some of those are going to be, it's going to be interesting to see the change now, because app developers are going to be thinking more, a little bit more. They're already thinking about the phone, the iPad. Now they're thinking about the desktop. It's going to be interesting to see how the development of apps go. I'm going to tell you, developing apps, I'm in the middle of major app development at Blueberry. And before the year's out, I probably have 100K and an Android and iOS app, it is not inexpensive to have app development done for both of the operating systems. You can almost figure to do a mainstream app today, $50,000 per operating system. That's just kind of the going rate. And it's no wonder people are making so much money in the development world making apps. It's just truly incredible, the cost of development to get that done. Jody says, hang on to your wallet when you're not paying them on time, 22%. Jody, yes, that could be, and again, 22% annually, that's a ouch. That kills you. Apple jazzes up iMessage with pin contacts, mentions, and inline replies. So if you're a big iMessage person, okay. So again, pin contacts, mentions, and inline replies. I've got probably 10 to 12 people that I message on a regular basis. So they're kind of pinned anyway. No one, because if other messages come on, I delete them. So anyway, managed messaging apps are competitive business. And Apple is raising its game in iOS 14. Also, Apple's detailed boost to performance and privacy to Safari. The only place I use Safari is on my iPhone or my iPad. I don't use browsers a lot on the iPad. But when I do, I use Safari for some reason. I don't know why. It works. I don't need to do anything special. I don't do a lot of multitasking. I don't have a bunch of tabs open. Like my desktop here where I'm on Chrome, I probably got 30 tabs open right now. So you may be less inclined to skip Safari and other browsers if you're updating Mac OS Big Sur. Again, Apple's revamped Safari with not just a more streamlined design, but a few much-needed features. For one, it's simply faster. Apple's vowing that frequently used pages will load up to 50% faster than on Chrome. Whoa. The company claims you'll still get a solid battery life in the process, so this might be your browser of choice. That's another thing, too. Battery life considerations when you're developing apps is a major, major thing. You pay extra for that. Watch OS 7 has been unveiled with sleep tracking, a shareable watch face, and a hand washing timer. So Apple's refreshed its wearable OS and has this much anticipated sleep tracking feature, including a wind down mode to help you go to bed on time. I probably needed that the other night. When you wake up, you see a visualization of your previous night's sleep, including periods of wake and sleep, and a chart showing weekly sleep trends. Here's the problem. I don't like wearing my Apple Watch to sleep. It's when I put it on the charger. Do you guys run into this problem where your phone is, I mean, your Apple Watch is dead if you, you know, get up in the morning, get dressed, shower, dress. Put my watch on, go all day, get ready for bed, I take it off, put it on the charger. What happens if I sleep with it all night? When do I get to charge it? Because I want to put it on and it's with me wherever I go. I don't know. You want to hear something stupid? Do they need another device that just does the sleep tracking? Is that what they need? You know, how do you wear your watch at night? How do you handle that? I'd like to, you know, my CPAP machine gives me a pretty good idea of how I slept. Or actually, basically, my mask tells me if I was leaking or anything like that. But I don't do any other type of sleep tracking. I know when I sleep, man, there's no problem. Once the ice goes closed and I actually go to sleep, man, I'm down for the count. You can roll a bulldozer through. I'm good to go. It takes a lot to wake me up. I'm not a light sleeper at all. I know some of you are. And usually getting there takes 5 minutes, but past Wednesday, the brain was a-churning. So Apple Scribble will let you write in text fields instead of typing. Scribble will recognize your handwriting and text fields. So what they're trying to do is make handwriting as powerful as typed text. You know, I have a Scribble for my big iPad Pro that I barely use only when we go to conventions and so forth. I've never used the pen, ever. Never used it once. Bought it, never used it. So how many of you have used this Apple Pencil before? That's what it's called, not Apple Scribble, Apple Pencil. How many of you have used it? I don't use it. I probably should sell it. I have never used the Apple Pencil. I bought it. I never used it once. Maybe this will give me a reason to, that this Apple Scribble will let you write in text fields instead of typing. Because it is kind of weird to sometimes whack on form, so maybe it'd be easier to write it. Apple TV Plus has reached 1 billion screens. We kind of knew that already. And that stat really doesn't compare apples to apples with competitor figures, but the Apple dropped the number again during the keynote. And Apple TV Plus reaches 1 billion devices. But Apple said that its TV app, which is where Apple TV Plus exists as a service, would be coming to Vizio and Sony smart TVs this summer. Oh, so the app is going to migrate into other televisions. Apple literally meant the Apple TV app is present on 1 billion devices, but Apple already did the hard part by selling billions of iPhones. Okay, so I get it. So it's Apple TVs on everything. So that's kind of a joke. So Big Sur is the new operating system, and we're going to get a screen with the Big Sur and the mountains behind, and so that is that's the new picture that's coming to our MacBooks here. If you don't change the default screen, which I often do now, I usually put a blueberry logo on it. Our blueberry, so when people see me, they know who. Well, basically, it's if they don't know who I am, and they see the screen, then they do. But so the latest release continues use as Apple's California landmarks, and so when are we going to have a release for this? Does it say? Apple's redesigned the macOS user interface significantly, borrowing many of the design cues from the iOS and iPad to bring multi-pane and glyph consistency. Widgets that were introduced in iOS 14 and for iPad OS 14 earlier today are also coming to the Mac. Messages being updated with the Memoji stickers effects. Pin conversations, we kind of talked about that already. I already talked about the speed. I know that my Adobe Premiere package updated over the weekend. So notice that when I opened it this morning. Doesn't have nothing to do with this, but I'm hoping my presets are all still there. But again, so we'll see when this gets put out. They don't have a date. Some rumors out there. Apple to launch AirPods 3 in first half of 2021 with similar designs to the AirPods Pro. So that's a rumor out there. And this guy's been pretty good on his rumors, getting stuff right. Apple Maps have added EV-focused features and cycling directions. The iOS 14 update will even alert you to restricted congestion areas, now competing with Waze. So Google's had this for a while. So now all of these mapping systems will tell you the quickest way to go if you have multiple routes to be able to go to your next destination. The update will also be more helpful to non-Americans with more detailed maps coming to Canada, Ireland, and the UK. And these features won't necessarily get you to Dutch rival software like Google Maps, or to ditch rival software like Google Maps, but they do reduce the need to turn to third-party apps. So I do like Google Maps probably the best for navigation. I do still like Waze the best for traffic congestion and alternate routes. And, of course, Apple has released its first developer betas of iOS 14, macOS 11, watchOS 7, and tvOS 14. So these were all dropped. And so those are all available if you're planning to install beta software, be forewarned. And, of course, let me know how it goes by sending me comments to here to geeknews@gmail.com. Jim is saying, I'm finally at the point where neither my MacBook or my iMac will update to the latest operating system. Yeah, that kind of sucks when that happens. But you know what, Jim? It's often better to, well, if you knew you could stop at a certain point, I've noticed that they just kind of get slower. So it's almost better to stay a couple of revisions behind, but then, you know, you can't be the cool kid anymore. But I think you were telling us the date of your machines before, and they are definitely, you've gotten some good use out of them. So that's always rewarding when you can, you know, get a big part of that investment back. Another thing that's coming to HomePod is they're going to add support for third-party streaming music services like Spotify. So that's pretty big. Now, presumably this will require apps to update to integrate with a new API or framework that allows for the services to run on the HomePod. And this means that the HomePod can now be controlled by Spotify, although Spotify is yet to commit a release timeframe. And that's the biggest boat anchor I've ever bought from Apple, is that HomePod. It is whacked. It starts playing. If I'm sitting in the office and I have my iPhone next to me and I go, hey, S-I-R-I, the HomePod will wake up, but my phone won't. It's the stupidest thing ever. It got so annoying to me that I unplugged the HomePod. And then every once in a while, it runs Homes to Mama. It starts playing music that I had in my playlist that I was playing last summer, mostly at the gym. And I'm on a whole different playlist, but it's still too stupid to know. It's lost. It's the biggest bone anchor. It sounds fantastic, but it's the biggest bone anchor I own from Apple. It really is. Very poor purchase. iOS 14 is reimagines how you find and use apps with the app clips, widgets, or an app library. I've got so many apps now. Oh my goodness. You can organize apps now, which is cool, a little better. And instead of dragging icons around the home screen and moving them into folders, you can now check off which pages of apps you want hidden from view. Oh, the apps on those pages will end up in your app library, where apps are organized not only in thematic collections like those you would have made perhaps, but also into dynamically updated folders. So this could be a good thing. We'll see what happens here. The key, though, is keeping them organized. One thing they're talking about on the new AirPods, it's going to be able, a new AirPod feature is you're going to be automatically switched between devices. Which is nice, because oftentimes I'll be on the AirPods with my phone and then I'll be on AirPods with my computer and I'll have to kind of force it. It's nicer if it automatically switches back and forth on demand, because I often on AirPods, I'm doing Zoom meetings or something like that. Although the IMAX microphone is pretty incredible. Car key, that's something a lot of us have not used. Car key unlocks your car with your iPhone. It's heading to iOS 14 and 13. So we talked about this. This was talked about a long time ago. So again, Apple will roll out Car Key, a new feature that uses NFC technology to unlock and start your vehicle. The feature will come to iOS 13. The first vehicle to get Car Key support will be the BMW 5 Series, which comes out in June. And Car Key pairs a vehicle to an iPhone or Apple Watch and allows users to share their key digitally with family and friends. The whole system operates via Apple Wallet. Tap your phone against your door handle or outside NFC reader to unlock the vehicle. My vehicle, as long as I have my fob in my pocket, I reach up, and as soon as I put my hand on the handle, the car unlocks. It's awesome. It really, really is. So maybe you don't need this. At least not on my Ford. Microsoft, as we said about earlier, of course, I mentioned it, maybe I didn't say it, but Microsoft is shutting down Mixer, and it's a streaming service we pushed the show to. Not a lot of people have ever watched it over there. And interestingly, they're partnering with Facebook Gaming. This is a strategic move for the future of the xCloud. This is very, very interesting that Microsoft is closing its Mixer services. I know a few podcasters are going to be very, very disappointed about this. And it plans to move existing partners over to Facebook Gaming. The surprise announcement means that Mixer partners and streamers will be transitioned to Facebook Gaming starting today, and Microsoft will no longer operate Mixer as a service in a month's time. So we're just going to pull the plug. We're not going over on Facebook Gaming because we're here on Facebook Live as it is. Jim says, I hear you, but the software that I use for my business moves on can get stuck. Hate that part of Max. Well, Jim, the good thing about owning a business is that you can, there's some cool rules now. You can buy that Mac and amortize it over a number of years, or if you have a good accountant, they will amortize it 100% the first year. I make my accountant amortize all standard computer purchases over 1 year. Like my iMac Pro, though, I did that over 5 years or 6 years or whatever the number is. The big, you know, the big ticket items when you're spending more than a couple of grand, I have that amortized over a number of years. But for a small business, and you buy a new computer, you can write that bad boy off against your business, of course, as long as you're using it part of your business. Now, if it's half pleasure, half business, you can only write 50% of it off, but you have to keep track, just like your mileage. But so that is a good thing if you need a deduction for your business. PayPal, Venmo are going to roll out crypto buying and selling. This is interesting. So PayPal plans to roll out direct sales cryptocurrency to its 325 million users, according to three people familiar with the matter. Now, currently, PayPal can be used as alternative means for withdrawing funds from exchanges such as Coinbase, but this would be the first in terms of offering direct sales of a cryptocurrency. According to Coindesk.com, their understanding is that they're going to allow buys and sells of crypto directly from PayPal and Venmo. They're going to have some sort of built-in wallet functionality so you can store it there. It's unclear which or how many cryptocurrencies would be available. The industry source said they expected PayPal would be working with multiple exchanges to source liquidity. A second source confirmed that PayPal is looking to offer buying and selling of crypto and said the service could be expected in the next 3 months or maybe sooner. So PayPal declined to comment. Heavy user PayPal. Would I use it to buy crypto? Probably not. Bitcoin, no. Right now is at 96.60. Ethereum is at 242. XRP is at 0.189. Bitcoin Cash is at 241. Bitcoin SV is at 177.12. So when you had that Bitcoin at $20,000, people were making some money running machines to create Bitcoin. Virgin Galactic has inked a deal with NASA to train astro tourists looking to buy a seat to the International Space Station. Someone else will have to provide the rocket, though. So they are going to be basically doing the training. So Sierra Nevada Corporation, Dream Chasers, likely to be the first space plane since the space shuttle launched into orbit, although it won't initially be crewed. And of course, those missions were designed to just kind of go up and come down. But now they're going to deal with ISS resources where they're going to be doing ecotourism. Now, I don't know what the story on this is. We haven't heard too much about this. But the International Space Station cost a lot of money to support. So how many ecotourists do you have to go to the International Space Station a year to supplement the cost of the space station? I don't think there's enough people and enough lifts to get that done. But they're going to train. They're going to train astro tourists. I guess that's what they're calling them, astro tourists. I didn't know NASA was going to open that up, but maybe so. Samsung wants to use drones to maintain 5G towers. Field engineers have used AI drones to check cell towers on the company's campus. Okay. So cell antennas are installed usually at pretty high heights. So when the antenna needs maintenance, field engineers have to climb up these tall cell towers. But if they could use drones to maintain the towers, that's kind of interesting. This seems to me, here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you got a connector that's loose, a drone's not going to be able to tighten that up. They say here that Samsung said the system in which it demonstrated as campus lets field engineers use smartphones or remotely fly camera equipped drone that can take pictures of the tower's antenna. AI then verifies the position of the antenna, making sure it's been installed correctly at the right rotation and tilt. So I guess if it isn't, that's when they send somebody out to climb the tower. Samsung plans to add the features that allow engineers to remotely adjust the antenna from a mobile devices and PC instead of having to climb up the tower. The company said it will launch a drone-based solution globally later this year. Okay, so if it's built into the antenna where it'll go and move, well, that's cool. But you're not going to go up there and have a drone loosen a connector. So here's something that's going to make you give a warm and fuzzy. The United States government doesn't know how it uses facial recognition in public housing. The Department of Housing and Urban Development says it doesn't have policies limiting how facial recognition is used in public housing. Lawmakers want to regulate how facial recognition is being used by Department of Housing. It doesn't keep track of how the surveillance technology can be used on its approximately 1.2 million households. So maybe they don't have any. We'll see, but they want to know. Do you have an owl cam? I know a few people do. A few buddies of mine have owl cams, and they liked it because it was connected to an LTE signal, and they could check it anytime. But owl cam's new owner more than doubled the price of its annual LTE dash cam fee. It used to be $99, and now it's $215 a year. Steve, so sorry, your bill's going to go up. So they launched these cameras back in 2000, and he actually used his because he was having a problem, and he wanted to be able to get that data stored all the time during certain hours when he was running into issues. But so apparently they received an email. This Owlcam has got a new owner. And received an email from Owl in May notifying him that Owlcam has been bought out by GPS and IoT company CallPass. Nowhere in that email, nor in the six subsequent emails he received, was there any mention of the new dramatically higher pricing. I guess until he whacked his credit card. So I think Owlcam fans are going to have a hard time justifying the new pricing at $215 a year, $20 a month. That's a lot. And users will now have unlimited access to live video viewing. Well, video history and clip creation, but few would say that explains such a massive price hike. I pay over $100 per drop cam for, you know, that's basically connected to my Wi-Fi and being, you know, that video is being stored in the cloud. This will make podcasters happy. And again, if you want to be on their platform, you have to follow by their rules. But Spotify is testing in-app ads on podcast episode pages. You won't have to remember an offer code anymore because you'll link through. My God, they're copying what we did in 2005. But they're going to put ads on podcast pages. So if you have they're going to run a Harry's Razor ad on your against your show, you will not earn any money from that. You will not pass go. You will not collect $200. Spotify will collect on you. So welcome to the world of big corporate folks telling the little man, go away. OnePlus is testing something new. The company's rumored to have a more affordable phone in the works. Well, yeah, they're going to have something much cheaper, but we'll see what happens here. But not a big mobile show, but that is what's going on in mobile. All right, so that's going to wrap up the regular content tonight. Good offering of stuff. Let me go, though. I did have some comments come in. I actually had a donation. I want to thank Brett. Brett said, hey, Todd, just a little contribution as a thank you for the show. Cheers, Brett. Brett, thank you for your one-time donation. It is definitely appreciated. I thank you so much for that. Jack sent me a link, said, hey, Todd, when I found this article, I thought you'd like to be a beta tester. Good luck. SpaceX is now taking requests for Starlink beta testers. So you can go to the Starlink website and you'll find the sign up. You give them your zip code, you give them your email address, and you get added to a list. I didn't hear anything else. So, Jack, thanks for sending that link over. Very, very excited about it. And also, I got an email from Brad. Hey, say, Todd, just let you know, I came through and I promised to send you some cash your way. Part of the funds you got was from a data breach settlement from Blue Cross Primeric Insurance. Still working in, but in a diminished capacity, just got a EDL loan from the SBA. So we'll buy some equipment as there are restrictions on what the loan dollars can be spent on. He says, TV sci-fi shows just finished. World of the Worlds on Epics channel through my Amazon subscription TV service. The show is pretty good, but some of its subtitles, part of it takes place in France. The other part is filmed in Great Britain. Creepy or eerie, seeing lots of dead people laying around. So again, World of the Worlds. Is it War of the Worlds? World of the Worlds on Epics channel. He said, I watched Witcher and the Last Kingdom on Netflix, early England battling the Danish invaders. I read Hollywood TV's productions on hold because of the COVID. That's true. I guess they're going to start shooting here in a few weeks. He said, enjoy your speaking, your opinion, and your current affairs going on. Getting back into listening to some younger politicals on YouTube to get a different perspective. With my Redux work hours, hard to get through all your past shows as I listen as I work. Enjoy your show. Keep it going. I did find it ironic that the left/Hollywood gun haters, while promoting the riots and marches, gun sales assault, even gun shop owners have said that the lefties are arming up. This is the email I received. I'm just reading it as it came in, so don't bash me. Last comment, you talked about the disclosure user rights that come with downloaded software. Well, I think it behooves the users to at least look through the 27 pages of disclosure/user agreements. Seems they could make it a little easier to understand or pick out the relevant points of the document. Brad, thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for your comments. Definitely appreciate the donation as well. Anyway, that's going to wrap me up here. So still doing the e-begging. We have the Amazon link in the show notes. Consider becoming an insider at $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month. That's 6.7 cents a day for those of you that come in at $2. The one-time donations are greatly appreciated. It really is. I always like to acknowledge those, and I want to thank everyone for their continued support of the show. If you've got an email, I've got comments about today's show, go ahead and fire that over geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. We'll be back with you Thursday, God willing. Everything's going good here. And the little break, actually, even though I was zombieized on that Thursday, was good. But still, at some point here, whether I go anywhere or not, I'm probably going to take a few shows off at some point. We'll keep going, but I'll be back with you on Thursday. Everyone, thanks for being part of the family here. And again, thanks for sending in your comments and your commentary. It is greatly appreciated. And I'll be back Thursday with a regular podcast here at geeknewscentral.com. Stay subscribed. Thanks for being part of the family. Take care. Bye-bye.